think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama
always said I'd be the chosen one. Do you tell your critics who threatened to file a motion to vacate to bring it on?
What was the exact language? Yeah. If you don't mind sharing with us.
I mind sharing with you. We just had a discussion in there, and really, this was a special conference to give the update because, as you know, Congress has been out of session for more than a month. A lot has transpired and learned for the American people in the last month. What we learned by bringing in Hunter Biden's business partner is that the President Biden had lied to the American public. That, yes, he did talk to his son, but he did more than talk to his son. He got on conference calls when his son was selling the brand with his clients. He literally went to dinners, which we never knew. And after the dinners, his son got a Porsche and then more than $3 million.
And that's all been documented. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the money's been exchanged. It showed up in bank records. And the amount of the Porsche, I mean, that was... You talk about being stupid. They send a check and money to Hunter Biden for the exact dollar to the cent almost, including tax. I assume they paid tax on it for the Porsche he wanted. That was part of the deal he wanted. Now, what we're hearing from Democrats say, well, you still don't have enough evidence. And there are Republicans saying the same thing. We're going to break it down in a moment in more detail for you. There are some Senate Republicans who have said the House GOP doesn't have enough to pursue impeachment proceedings. Who would that be? Well, we're going to break them down and give you by name who's involved in it. And there's some members of Republicans, at least they have the name, are behind their names in the House that have the same thing. But I'll give you one issue, one name in particular right now. And this disturbs me. Senator John Cornyn, Republican, Texas. He said, it really comes to how do you prioritize your time? I don't know if anybody believes Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will take it up and actually have a trial and convict a sitting president. So he's suggesting maybe we just consider either there's not enough or we just ignore it and walk on. We can't do both. Of course we can do both. Do you think they work on only one bill at a time in the Capitol? If they work on any, that might be the other question. Hey, thanks for joining us again. Here we are, September 14, 2023. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. And, of course, we're also streaming while on the air at News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. We're available for you. So Kevin McCarthy, and trying to defend against a question raised by some of the media, how are you reacting to those who say, you know, maybe you're not doing enough. You're not getting indictments in. You haven't subpoenaed witnesses. You haven't put Hunter Biden in front of you, and how they actually had Don Trump Jr. in front of them within months of opening their inquiry, and you haven't done a damn thing. Those were remarks and complaints coming yesterday, if you recall, or the other day from Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. Let me remind you again of how he phrased it.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
Now, that was a question, because as the question got phrased to McCarthy when they were dealing with reporters, did you tell people like Gaetz, bring it on? And he said, let's just kind of calm it down, drop the temperature a little bit. But of course, whether or not he wants to, Gates and those who are challenging McCarthy and say he's slow walking and not moving fast enough. Yeah, I would like to see things done faster as well. But if you're not careful, you know who you end up playing for? You end up playing for the other team. You might as well be wearing their uniforms. Because here comes KJP, the White House spokeswoman, saying, look at what's going on in their party. They don't even believe this is real.
The only reason Speaker McCarthy is doing this political stunt, and we have seen it, you all have reported, is because Marjorie Taylor Greene has said she threatened to shut down the government. Can you imagine shutting down the government over a political stunt? And we're talking about vital programs that American families need. And she said that because she wanted him to actually do this. And if he didn't, she would shut down the government. And you have Matt Gaetz as well, threatened to oust him as speaker if he didn't do it. So he didn't even put up for a vote, as you all know, because he knows that even his own members weren't going to support this. So, that's why we call it baseless. That's why I just called it baseless. Because they have said themselves that there is no evidence. The evidence does not exist. And this is a political stunt.
They haven't actually said there's no evidence. Evidence doesn't exist. Some are questioning, is there enough? And is it enough to go forward now? But yes, there are some that are seeming to be on the sideline that, I don't know. I don't want to get so messy. You went up there to deal with these issues. And you got... You in the House in particular, you were elected, re-elected back in the midterm elections, and you knew all this was going on. It was underway then, and you knew the job you were supposed to be carrying out. I cannot begin to explain to you as to why some are getting either wishy-washy, and I could explain that they say, well, we haven't actually seen the evidence. I agree, because we're not seeing the evidence. We're giving and details that is coming from bank records and everything else. But I got to tell you, if you're looking for false leads and red herrings, as they used to refer to them in mystery books, in other words, chase this lead, it doesn't exist. Do you remember what happened when Trump was supposedly under inquiry for Russian collusion and the Steele dossier tapes? Well, to that extent, Tennessee Congressman Burchett has a reaction to KJP saying, those who don't really believe there's enough yet, I got a question.
Maybe they'll bring out all those security experts that said that the Hunter Biden laptop didn't exist either. You know, there's over $20 million in unaccounted for money that has flowed through the Biden crime family. There's no proof they paid taxes. They've created over 20 LLCs. To literally launder this money. Again, where is the proof that they even paid taxes on this? What were they paying for? What were these criminal enterprises that were giving the Biden family money for? Why are there thousands of emails where Joe Biden used an alias? How much of this can we stand? And the Democrats can say there's no evidence. That's their standard line. But you'll notice it's just a few of the ranking Democrats, the hardcore liberals in the very red, in the very blue districts. So it's not your rank and file Democrats who are saying this. And they are honestly saying he's got some problems.
They are saying that. But I will add that Senator Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, isn't even weighing in on the House impeachment. That absolutely burns me. Maybe he's spaced out again like he has been, but he should not be sitting on the sideline on his hands and with his eyes staring and non-blinking. Now, Quentin and I were discussing, and ironically, he brought the same thing I had thought of earlier today, and we both would take credit or we'll take blame if you don't like it. And the question being, or the point being, all the Republicans need to do every time they start getting asked, and every time something like KJP says it's all being created out of fabric that doesn't exist, ask the question back. What would you say and what would you do if Joe Biden was claiming that Donald Trump used fake names repeatedly? And if Donald Trump had been using fake names and using daddy's name to get business deals. And again, all you got to do is throw the same questions they throw about Biden. Turn around and say, well, how would you treat it if it were the other way around? You know what they would do. Again, here's a question from the press corps to the White House press secretary.
What you see Republicans in Congress, right, they have spent all year investigating the president. That's what they've spent all year doing. And have turned up with no evidence, none, that he did anything wrong. I mean, that is what we've heard over and over again from their almost year-long investigation. And that's because the president didn't do anything wrong. Even House Republicans have said the evidence does not exist. The House Republicans have said that to my friend in the back who just yelled at, which is incredibly inappropriate. But House Republicans have said that it doesn't exist. Their own investigation have actually debunked their ridiculous attacks.
Well, not quite exactly. And when she says all the Republicans have said, or many of their own parties say the evidence doesn't exist, they're saying that we haven't seen the specifics yet. And that's true. Only if you're on the House Oversight Committee or Judiciary Committee are you getting a chance to see the actual facts of the bank records. If I were a member of Congress and I were not one of those committees, I'd say I have not seen the actual evidence. But if he were using fake names repeatedly so he could evade being pointed out as his name as a VP at that time, I'd say I got an issue with that. If they are not reporting the taxes on the money they got, I've got another big issue. And I got a bigger issue with the government not carrying out its own investigation. But Kevin McCarthy says, you want to check our facts? Look what CNN and NN did.
Now, I know CNN said something yesterday. They went through and said that didn't want to do fact checks on everything that I laid out. What was interesting was the headline, but more interesting in the fact checks, it was all true. They had to acknowledge that every alleged accusation that put us into impeachment inquiry is true. I appreciate CNN actually acknowledged that, because I'm not sure, based upon how many of you got the memo from the White House legal counsel on what you should say. I didn't know that was a role of the White House to try to control the media. I thought you had a First Amendment.
Now, you know, he named something we're going to get into in the second hour. The White House did send a letter out urging the news outlets to, quote, ramp up scrutiny of the Biden impeachment inquiry. That is clear and blatant a violation of the First Amendment and weaponizing the government. That came from the White House. I'll get into that in more detail in the second hour. You don't want to miss it. But again, McCarthy says, look what we already know about Biden.
We also learned that the president used false names in emails. Now, you're reporters, why would a government individual do that? Would that be if you wanted to use a FOIA that you couldn't find what they were communicating? And lo and behold, there's more than 5,400 of those while he was vice president. And in that, it would also show that the president had lied to the American public, because there is one in there, because we haven't been able to see them yet, that is a direct email to the vice president in this false name, along with his son, Hunter Biden, about Ukraine.
So throw those same questions back to them. What would your response be if it were Trump instead of Biden? Don't forget how, as vice president, Biden had threatened Ukraine, if you don't do what I want, you're not going to get a $1 billion loan guarantee. He smugly admitted he was extorting them, and it was documented in a January 28 meeting with Council of Foreign Relations.
And I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
That is direct extortion. If you don't fire the prosecutor investigating the company where my son is working, you're not going to get your money. That's extortion. Speaker McCarthy says, and don't forget the FBI informant.
Now, remember what we also have. We have an FBI informant that we had found that had alleged the Bidens took a bribe. Then we also have found that you have a staffer that worked in the vice president's office that talked to Hunter Biden's business partner and said the vice president has signed off on the Burisma talking points. We learned during break that Hunter Biden, along with his business partner on the Burisma board, the Ukrainian energy company, that when he got those hundreds of thousands of dollars that he never had to pay taxes on, and we'd learned that the statute of limitations had run out knowingly by the Department of Justice allowed that to happen. But what we found during this break period was there was a lot of pressure on Hunter Biden to call Washington and do something about it. Then we have watched where the vice president literally bragged to America that he took that $1 billion of taxpayer money and leveraged the Ukraine government to fire their prosecutor.
Which we just heard. But again, you've got the White House press secretary doing her little dance and pointing out this is all political stuff and not really the truth. Oh, this is so funny in the face of what they did to Trump.
Republicans have made it pretty clear just how illegitimate this is. They've made that very clear. This is an entire exercise of how to do this in an illegitimate way. And again, it's a political stunt, and it is going after the president politically, not about the truth. There's no truth here. And so we think they should work with us on legitimate issues, things that actually matter to the American people.
It is true that McCarthy might not have enough votes for the inquiry in full. That's what he's saying earlier, but now he's saying, I think we have enough and we're ready to move forward. Well, you do have some Republicans in the House that are a little uncertain as to what to do and how to do it. And then, as I said, we've got Senate Minority Leader McConnell saying nothing about it. And we've got another group of Senate Republicans who are giving the impeachment inquiry the cold shoulder. What is wrong with you? This should matter to all American people. Yes, your pocketbook issues are critical. But this, the fact that your president that now serves as vice president, and maybe even to this day, was selling our country out, I would want an answer. And you would if it were Trump, would you not? And you'd have a right to demand it. And I would demand it. Coming up, should the Energy Secretary Granholm resign for perjury? Or should she be investigated because she apparently was also making money at your expense? You talk about conflicts of interest and then lying to Congress, then come back and say, oh, my bad, I made a mistake. You can't do that. Perjury is perjury. And she's a lawyer and she knows it. We're going to get into that story. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Since taking office in January of 2021, Secretary Granholm has violated the Hatch Act multiple times. She's owned Proterra stock while her boss, President Biden, repeatedly promoted the company. We saw this huge payout. She admitted 3 months after she took office. Her husband owned Ford stock while she personally promoted the company's work with official resources, and she cashed in on millions of dollars after these illegal transactions and failure to disclose obvious conflicts were revealed. As you said, it took you 3 months before you actually sold the stock. And most critically, she lied under oath to Congress, claiming she did not own any individual stocks when in fact she did. Do you believe that any Department of Energy or other federal employee violating this rule should resign or be removed from office for this position?
First of all, let me say that we take ethics.
That's a yes or no question. Do you think if someone violates the ethical laws set forth in this, that you said you signed a statement, an ethical statement, that you would comply with the laws? Do you think that a DOE employee or other federal employee who violates these laws should step down from that position? That's a yes or no. If they violate the ethics laws,
I understand what you're trying to do.
Well,
here.
I'm asking you a specific question. Okay, you're not going to answer the question.
A number of allegations.
You made a number of allegations. I know what you're trying to do. Senator Granholm, Secretary Granholm, I should say, the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who's appointed by Biden, is definitely trying to evade being pinned down. That's what she's in the process of doing, because she did not do what we thought she was going to do, in the sense that she went before Congress and admitted, yeah, I may have some conflicts, but I'm going to go ahead and I can move forward, and it's not going to be a problem for me. That is Congresswoman Claudia Tenney of New York questioning her and saying, you know, we might be at a point now, we need to launch an impact and impeachment inquiry into Energy Secretary Granholm, because she gave false testimony to Congress on the family's stock ownership and pointed out, as you were hearing, since she took office January 2021, Secretary Granholm has violated the Hatch Act multiple times. She owned Proterra stock while her boss, President Biden, repeatedly promoted the company. In fact, he even went to the Proterra bus company along with her, talking about, hey, these are our futures, the electric bus. And you remember VP Harris talking about, this will be so great, the wheels will go round and round, and you can charge your phones and everything while you're on the bus. She lied under oath, claiming that she did not own any individual stocks. That was the statement you heard from Congresswoman Tenney. And she said, that is perjury. Well, in June, Granholm did admit in a letter to lawmakers she falsely testified under oath, although she's not saying it in that sense, because she had said, I don't own any individual stocks. She did divest from a variety of stocks in 2021, according to the letter, which she did send to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. She maintained shares of 6 other companies, about $120,000 worth. And then Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, when he was asking her about it, well, then she said, well, I've sold all shares of individual companies. Now, her husband is another little tie. And, of course, you can't go after the spouse who's in Congress because of what their spouse does. but her spouse, her husband, owns, I don't know, let me see, it looks like 2,400 shares worth of Ford Motor Company. Not a big deal. They sold those on May, but it's still incorrect. So let's go back to the questioning. Is we have Congresswoman Claudia Tenney trying to sink her fangs into Energy Secretary Granholm because, again, you know why she got appointed? Because she had served and worked with Proterra. She was on the board, and she's all about green energy, pie in the sky. My God, if you've got that, if you've got a new way to produce a wind farm, they're going to put you in charge of something and give you tons of money for it. And she is Energy Secretary. Once again, back to the inquiry.
Once I realized and I spoke to Congress that I was not telling the truth about what's happening, I went back and admitted, oh, I made a mistake. So admitting the truth after being caught lying doesn't actually cure perjury. I don't know if you know that legally. I know you're an attorney. So you've admitted to testifying falsely and then came back and said I corrected it later. But that doesn't cure the fact that you actually committed perjury. We've actually impeached presidents over committing perjury. And this is actually involved in your official duties, also after signing an ethics oath that you said that you signed and admitted to today, and on top of admitting that it was 3 months after you took office that you actually sold the stock on the private market, as Daryl, Congressman Issa put out. So to me, that's perjury, and that's simple. That's perjury, period. Why should you not resign, or why should we not consider some kind of impeachment inquiry into you for your perjury charges?
Good questions. Everything there is a good question. And Jennifer Granholm, well, I made a mistake, and she knows you can't lie before Congress. That is perjury. Don't let her flim-flam and blink her eyes at you and say, well, I made a mistake. You better have your facts in front of you when you go before Congress. Could you make a mistake on maybe a certain amount or something? Yeah, but to say that I don't own any and you didn't know that that was a mistake? And you didn't check before you went in to testify? Or could you at least, here's the way you should answer, say, to my knowledge, I think everything's cleared. That's enough to get you out from under perjury. But when you flat out say, nope, don't have anything. You know, when she decided to sell the holdings in the electric bus company, only after criticism from Republicans. And that apparently, for many, say, well, that at least brings her back under obligations of her ethics agreement. She has sold everything now. She sold her holdings in the electric bus company, Proterra. DOE, Department of Energy, confirmed that it had been sold, but it followed criticism from Republicans saying she's profiting from the Biden administration push for electric vehicles. If this woman is so smart, would she not know, I can't be making money while we're pushing for electric vehicles? I can't be part of this. Well, maybe she's not so smart. No, the other thing is they think you're dumb. They think you're so stupid they'll get by with it. And they will if you let them. So she sold all her Proterra holdings of this electric bus company. Her net capital gains, again, this is someone who's going to be riding a bus a lot. You can tell by how much money she's got. She sold them for her net capital gains of $1.6 million. She's not going to be riding no stinking bus. She's not going to ride with the unwashed. That then apparently fulfills her obligations under her ethics agreement. And she did it 3 months before an August deadline she was facing. But she'd been a board member of that company. She did resign before becoming secretary. At least she thought far enough ahead that I probably shouldn't sit on the board if I'm going to be the energy secretary. But again, how did she get the job? Well, she got the job because she's on the board. And again, just coinky-dinky, the way the things happen with the Biden administration and how they make things happen. They just don't question it. It just happened. There's nothing going on here to see that looks nefarious. By that, I mean the fact that Joe Biden makes a virtual visit to a Proterra facility, all part of his electric vehicle push. Soon after that happened, Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, top Republican on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, asked the DOE, the Department of Energy Inspector General, I want you to investigate whether the secretary, being Granholm, had any potential conflicts of interest. And Congressman Ralph Norman, Republican of South Carolina, also pressed her on the same issue. And again, this is all from a Politico article of May 2021. All this was taking place back then. The testimony and the questions being given for by Claudia Tenney are just happened. Still saying, shouldn't you be held accountable? You lied to Congress. When you commit perjury before Congress, that stays with you for a while. It's not a 30-day statute of limitations that you get a chance to repeal and say everything. But the White House, again, if you're going to believe this, the White House said, despite the fact that she is now the Energy Secretary, despite the fact that she was on the Proterra board, despite her holdings amounted to $1.6 million of the company, had nothing to do with the fact of the White House planning a visit at Proterra. Just coinky-dinky. Same thing that in January, Proterra said, we're going to go public. Our expected value should be $1.6 billion. See, Granholm has been an electric vehicle booster all the way back to the time when she served as governor of Michigan. And the Department of Energy has been a lead, has had a lead role in developing EV technology. So she then serves a key part of the Biden administration to prove we're going to go green. We're going to make it happen. So she filed her ethics paperwork at the time with the government ethics office, proclaiming everything that she thought she should file. And then they even got a report from the Department of Energy that states, and I'm going to read their statement, Secretary Granholm has acted in full accordance with the comprehensive ethical standards set by the Biden administration and has completed her divestment well ahead of the time required by her ethics agreement. But she hadn't. She hadn't cleared everything. And then she lied to Congress saying she did. Are we going to continue to have two systems of justice in this country? I will flat out guarantee you that if it was a Republican named, not to the Biden energy thing, that's not going to happen, but a Republican named to any position, and they have a conflict of interest both in direct monies they made and monies they're going to make and what they've done behind the scenes to make this all happen and gear up, there will be inquiries, and if they make such a statement as she did to Congress, a perjurious statement, there will be no time between the statement and trying to slap the cuffs on them and take them away to jail. But what we have here is she's a bright-looking young woman. I wouldn't say so young. I'm not trying to knock her. No big deal there, but you're just going to kind of give her a pass because she's Biden's pet at this point. And she can help him look good for the green pie in the sky people. My friends, if you want to have an electric vehicle, that's your choice. But many electric vehicle owners are finding troubles just trying to plot a trip across the nation. They will have locations where they can stop and get recharged, but then it's not just like you pulling in and within less than 10 minutes, you've filled your tank and you're out the, you're on the road again. Then they get there, there is an electric charger station, but they're all full. You won't know until you get there. You got to go somewhere else. So you better plan that you got extra time. But if you want that, that's your choice. But do you really think, let's be serious for a second. Do you really think that if everyone in the nation had an electric vehicle, we would, quote, be praised by the left green pie in the sky people? No, we're not. Because then they want to kill the cows because of methane. And, of course, if everyone had an electric vehicle, our electric grid would shut down. Nothing in your house relies on electricity would work. And, in fact, do they have any idea where the electricity comes from? That would be coal-fired plants, generally. They don't want any more fossil fuels. So if you're going to cut those out, then you have to rely on hydro turbines, on rivers, or windmills generating. And, of course, the cost of disposing of those is a high cost. There are a lot of flaws with all this right now. There may come a day that it's more than feasible. It may end up actually being in a hydrogen vehicle. But the problem we have right now is we got some in Congress who are still looking for padding their pocket in the process. Coming up, the push is working out to shut down some transgender surgeries in the state of Missouri. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So many of you are aware of the fact that we had Washington University had a transgender center at St. Louis Children's Hospital. It did have one. And I say did because it no longer does. And then you have the University of Missouri was also carrying out gender-affirming care for juveniles. They've all stopped. Not because they realize there's no money to be made, but because a new state law passed in the state of Missouri. And as one clinic stated, it creates, quote, unsustainable liability for healthcare workers. Good. Good. So, just this week, Washington University Transgender Center at St. Louis Children's Hospital announced it would stop providing those services. A spokesman for the University of Missouri Healthcare said they stopped treatments for minors August 28th. That's when the new Missouri law took place, by the way. It included numerous things, including puberty blockers, hormones, the so-called gender-affirming surgery. There were some exceptions made for those who were already in the process of treatment or taking medications before the law started so they can continue if that's what they want to do, and some of it's irreversible depending on exactly what they're doing. So now what Washington University and University of Missouri, is not the fact that they decided this is bad for kids. As many European countries have decided, this is not a good idea because this is just pushing kids instead of really taking time to work them through, talk them through it, and maybe by the age of 18, if they still want to do it, then they're prepared. But when they're 14, 13, or younger, they don't know what they want. But everybody here, everybody else does it. Why not? Why can't I do it? Because you're a child, and you don't make those decisions when you're a child. And a parent who is willing to just simply kowtow to the kid and say, well, it'll make her happier. Well, what are you going to do the next day when they want something else done? You are a parent, not a friend. I remember making that very clear to my children. I love you, I care about you, but I'll remind you, I do want to be friends with you, but I'm your parent first. So any decision I make because I do care about you. But Washington University and University of Missouri said their physicians are now referring any of the current patients they have to other providers. Washington says, University says it will continue providing education and mental health support for minors. I have no problem with that. Help them out with education and help with mental health support if there really is an issue. Because I have to tell you, if a child is struggling with that, really struggling, not just because everybody else is doing it, then they need help. And I'm all for that. The problem is, if you start suddenly pushing gender-affirming, you're saying whatever they want today is okay, and if they change their mind tomorrow, well, that's too bad. We've already done the other thing. They issued a statement saying, we're disheartened to take this step. However, Missouri's newly enacted law requiring and regarding transgender care has created a new claim for patients who receive these medications as minors. You know why? Because they're afraid there's some of these minors that they talk into doing this or say this is good for you, you should do it, then later said, no, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And you helped take part in making me this way. That should tell you right there. Have you ever heard someone say, they gave me heart surgery and saved my life, and then later complained that, well, I didn't want you to save my life. I didn't want heart surgery. No. Or kidney, or anything else someone needs. They say that we're looking at unsustainable liability for healthcare professionals. They face liability on anything and everything they do. Doctors, staff, the medical group, the chemical companies, everyone involved in your treatment faces liability. They know that. But unless they actually do something wrong, they give you the wrong med, or they take off the wrong arm, or they inject you with something that you're allergic to, well then, you know, they're pretty well covering themselves because they know. They know how to do so because it's in your best care. But how would they know that if a 13 or 14-year-old wants to have gender-affirming care now, that maybe in 10 years or less they decide, I didn't want that, and they went ahead and encouraged it. They helped me get it. So thank God we're beginning to turn the door and shut the door on that issue. And I'm telling you, many European countries have already decided to. But we do have the ACLU of Missouri getting involved in some of this, as you would expect. They're suing to overturn the law on behalf of another St. Louis healthcare center. Also, families of three transgender minors and LGBTQ plus organizations. They want the law temporarily blocked as the challenge plays out, but the judge disagreed, saying the lawsuit's not likely to succeed. Now, again, I can't stress enough to you, if there's a child that is going through this internally and struggling with their gender identity seriously, then I say help them. But by helping them, I'm not saying you start giving them puberty blockers or you don't ask, fill out this questionnaire, then we'll make a decision from that. You give them therapy and help and assistance. And if they still feel that way when they reach the age of 18, their legal age to make their own decision, it's going to be their decision. And how many of at the age of even 18 made a decision later, you thought, well, that was stupid. I wish I hadn't done that. We all have. But thank God in Missouri and other states are realizing this is not right. And for those of you who think that genders are interchangeable, really, I still dare one of you, I dare any of you who believe that, go out and try to milk a bull. I'd like to see that. All right, let's turn our attention to something else, and that is we've got a decision about which you should you pledge allegiance to, transgender flag or the American flag.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Developing news out of Alameda County. Tensions rising at a school board meeting over a potential flag ban, and sheriff deputies have to briefly step in. It is a packed house at the Sunol Glen School Board tonight. But at one point, the group was escorted out. Good evening, everyone. I'm Mike Meebeck.
And I'm Julie Hainer. At issue, a resolution to ban all flags other than federal and state flags in front of the district's only school, prompting protests from LGBTQ plus advocates. KTVU's Jana Katsuyama joins us now live with the latest on this developing story. And Jana, the vote just happened.
It did. The board is still meeting, but about a half an hour ago, they voted 2-1 in favor of this ban that would restrict the number of flags that could be flown there to just the federal and the state flags.
And that's the way it should be. Because everyone gets put their flag up. Now, the school, if it's a high school, maybe they have a flag for that particular high school. Of course, you always follow flag etiquette of the U.S. The U.S. flag is always going to be on top. But if they have a mascot flag they want to fly on certain game days or whatever, that would be acceptable. But the problem is, if you start letting LGBTQ flags fly, then you get every other group saying, I want my flag up there, too. Sure, I'm a Trump supporter. I want my Trump flag up there. Why not? Well, why can't you do that? Are you discriminating? I want my BLM flag up there. Well, we might do that one, but no, we can't. Or I want my KK flag up there. Why can't I have my flag up there? No, I don't have one. I'm just saying, you see the absurdity of it when we continue to just add flags to flags to flags. I really like the fact that my grandson in Florida, his mother sent me a videotape of him in a class where they work on things like newscasting, things of this nature, and they broadcast to the rest of the student body. And enjoyed watching him. But what really struck me, and I made a note back to her, and of course it's in the state of Florida, but they kind of do their welcome and introducing themselves and a couple things they're going to be discussing. But first, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I thought, my God, that is great. I don't know how many schools do that nowadays. I really don't. Much less display an American flag in the classroom. Many do fly a flag outside, but I do also know in the state of California, There were complaints in, well, the U.S. flag might be offensive to some. They're not from this country. They're in the country now, and this is our flag. I raised that with you with the World Poker Series when I was there this last year, and they did their opening ceremony, and they had everybody stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, but there was no flag on display. And I asked about, where is the flag? Where is the flag? I said, well, we thought it might offend someone. I said, you're playing in the United States of America. If I'm playing a World Series event in France, I expect them to put their flag up. I have no issue with it. I know I'm in their country. But for the parents who were fighting against putting a transgender flag up and stood up against the school board, and the board voted, I'll give you the vote number in a moment, but it absolutely was incensing a lot of people. There were 100-plus packed into the meeting room. They kept trying to call for calm. It developed into chaos, and then eventually ended up having to call deputies in. Let the TV report continue.
The opponent said the resolution was targeting the LGBTQ plus community and young people, and they said they supported the superintendent's decision to fly the flag on the flagpole after it was vandalized when it was hung on the fence outside the school. Here's what both sides had to say.
School districts should only fly two. The American flag right here, which is inclusive for everybody, even them across the way there. For all Americans, and the California flag, which is the state that we live in.
Are their actions representing the people? Have they talked to the people about this? No one ever talked to me about it.
And that last man there and others saying that they oppose these flag restrictions and say they are looking into a possible recall of the two members who voted for that ban tonight. The board, after they kicked everyone out, spent a good amount of time talking with the attorney of Sunol and also talking about whether this was legal. And there was a big division over whether they felt like this ban or these restrictions are legal or if it would open Sunol school board up to possible lawsuits.
I'll answer that for you. Hell yes, it's going to. You're going to get lawsuits. Whether or not they're going to be sustainable, I don't know. But the vote, you heard that the superintendent is already in favor. She's the one who allowed a pride flag to be displayed this summer in front of the district's only school. It has only one school in the Sunol Glenboard school board area. Serves 270 students, grades K through 8. And she said, we chose to fly the inclusivity flag, the transgender flag, so students from the LGBTQ plus community would know we're a place of equity and inclusivity. What does that mean? Migrants who come to your school district, that if they're not LGBTQ, they're not American, do they get to fly their flag? Nobody asked that, did they? The vote, you're going to love this. I told you the superintendent was for it. The board has three members. I think one of them is the superintendent, so the vote was 2-1. No, we're not going to. Now, I don't know the man at the end that appeared on the TV thing. They asked the public, they haven't asked me. Well, they asked you, I don't really care what your answer is, because this is the U.S. of A, and we're going to fly the American flag, and we will fly your state flag under it, and if you want to fly a mascot flag or your school flag, oh, but see, right there, you open a door, don't you, because they'll say, well, our school flag is a transgender flag with the school mascot on it. And that's where the other fight starts. Look, it's always been as simple as this. If you're in another country, you're going to respect and obey that country's laws. You better, anyway. And when you come to this country, if you assume you're coming in legally and you're going to be wanting to be part of the community, you're going in. Follow our laws, what we set in place. If you don't like them, we have a system for you to go get them resolved, either by court and or by election. which brings me to a story we've got coming up in the next segment, the next hour. You do not want to miss this. The White House sent out a letter urging news outlets to ramp up scrutiny of those trying to impeach Joe Biden. That is basically letting the dogs of the state-controlled media loose. Next hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God.